Holy cow, the years just keep sliding by, don't they? How is it March already? But it's not too late to change your life this year. If you're still not in a job you love, stop messing around. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an information technology professional in as little as 4 months, even with zero IT experience. Helping people start an IT career is what we do. Many of our graduates could do little more than turn their computers on and off before they started. Attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week to get the skills and certifications you'll need to start your new career. More than just a school, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire our students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited and financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon, so go take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. It's not rocket science, it's mycomputercareer.edu. The First Take Your Take podcast is presented by Capital One. This is Banking Reimagined. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz, and we start with headlines you need to know. The world's waiting for health updates regarding NASCAR driver Ryan Newman, who was involved in a horrific crash last night as the Daytona 500 came to a close. Denny Hamlin won the race. It's his second in a row, third in 5 years, but the historical significance of that moment rightfully overshadowed by concern for Newman, the 42-year-old driver who was rushed to the hospital after a gruesome crash. As of the last update, as of right now, his injuries were considered to be non-life-threatening, but we're still waiting for additional updates, and we will keep you updated as we find out more. Next up on Headlines You Need to Know, Atlanta Braves outfielder Nick Markakis has joined the chorus blasting the Houston Astros over the sign-stealing scandal. This is his quote. Every single guy over there needs a beating. It's anger. I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating. It's wrong. They're messing with people's careers. He called it damaging to baseball and also managed to point a finger at Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred, saying, quote, the way he handled the situation, he should be embarrassed of himself. So the baseball drama keeps turning. And lastly, on the headlines you need, Drew Brees is not done yet. The New Orleans Saints quarterback and NFL's career passing leader will return for a 20th season after going to Instagram on Tuesday to say that, quote, we'll make another run at it. Remember, he turned 41 in January, scheduled to become an unrestricted free agent in March, but he's told everybody it's Saints or nothing. So we know now it's the Saints. It's First Take, Your Take, and that's Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month, saving you up to half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. And we're going to hop immediately with breaking news on Drew Brees coming back. We're going to hop immediately to the Shell Penzoil Performance Line to talk to one of our favorites. Now, again, First Take had a lot of NBA talk. You're going to hear some of that. We're going to get some of those thoughts. But ESPN NFL insider Field Yates joins us right now on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line to give you the breakdown on everything we know about Drew Brees. Penzoil synthetic motor oils made from natural gas. So the next time you get an oil change, ask for Penzoil. The proof is in the Penzoil. So, obviously, Field, thanks for the time on short notice. We know Drew Brees is coming back. All eyes have been on Brady. We're trying to figure out where Philip Rivers goes. So with Drew Brees coming back to the Saints, what does that do to the quarterback carousel this offseason?
Well, Fitz, here's what I would say is I think it has less to do with Drew Brees and the Saints and maybe everything to do with Teddy Bridgewater, because I think we all understood there was sort of a binary outcome for Drew Brees. Return to New Orleans or retire. He wasn't entertaining other teams outside of New Orleans. But if he had decided to retire, then the Saints might have been making the decision between Teddy Bridgewater and, yes, Taysom Hill, who I know his sample size as a thrower is extremely small. But Teddy Bridgewater, unlikely to return to New Orleans. But the question is, how much of a market will he have? He's 27 years old. He turns 28 in November. He started 5 games this past year and threw 9 touchdowns. But, Fitz, I don't know that the 5 games he started, despite the fact that they were all wins for the Saints, inspire the type of confidence that's going to make a team this offseason say, you know what, let's pay Teddy Bridgewater starter quarterback money. Because as we know in the NFL, starting quarterback money, whether you're an awesome starter or not as awesome starter, is going to be somewhere north of $20, $22 million. which is what Nick Foles got last year from the Jaguars.
If this means the end of Teddy Bridgewater in New Orleans Field, is there a particular spot you think that is the right landing place for him?
You know, Fitz, I was just texting with our good friend Mina Kime, who I'll be on her podcast later on today, and I told her I don't have an answer right now as to a team that obviously fits for Teddy Bridgewater as the starter. I'm going to work hard to think of one between now and when we tape the show, but I'm having a hard time finding an obvious landing spot. Now, there might be some teams like the Los Angeles Chargers that would be interested in drafting a quarterback and adding another proven veteran, despite the fact that they have Tyrod Taylor. Maybe the Patriots, if Tom Brady departs, maybe they examine a quarterback who will cost less than someone like, well, Tom Brady himself would, but also have some experience if they don't believe that Jared Stidham is either their long-term answer or not yet ready. Remember that just a year ago, Teddy Bridgewater was a free agent, and it wasn't like his market was on fire. The Dolphins were interested, but he ultimately stayed with the Saints on a deal that paid him $7.5 million. So it's not like Teddy Bridgewater, who was available last year, was attracting these super lucrative offers in the neighborhood of $20, $25, even $30 million that other starting quarterbacks are going to be signing in a matter of just 1 month.
So why not have history repeat itself then and stay with the Saints as a backup?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, so the problem is that the Saints have so many players they have to pay, Fitz, that at some point it's just going to be untenable for them to keep Teddy Bridgewater. And he may say, listen, as nice as a situation as I'm in right now, and I love being in New Orleans, and by all accounts, he loves being in New Orleans, it's better to go get a multi-year deal than to have a one-year deal with the Saints as the clear and obvious backup to Drew Brees, with the chance that that part could change in a year if the team feels like Taysom Hill, even at the age of 30, is a developmental quarterback prospect who could be their next starter for the long haul. So I think for Teddy, it's probably his last best chance at a multi-year bite at the apple, which is why, although I don't have a perfect team for you yet, I do believe Teddy Bridgewater will sign somewhere else this offseason.
Do you believe Taysom Hill can be a high-level starter in the NFL if the Saints are banking on him to be their future?
I don't, Fitz. And you know what? I don't think he should. I understand why he probably would be enticed. I mean, first of all, he's a lifelong quarterback who loves that position. Second of all, if you become a franchise quarterback, you're making generational wealth money. But I think Taysom Hill's best chance to be a really effective player for the long time in the NFL is to do exactly what he did last year. He was arguably the most, I would say, versatile offensive player, and maybe just the most versatile player, period, in football last year. He was so fun as a runner. He was, I think, a developing receiver. He plays on special teams. He can throw the football on occasion. If I'm Taysom Hill, I am embracing this X-factor role as my livelihood because I think, well, they wouldn't get quarterback money. He could get a multi-year deal with somebody. It might have to wait a year because he's a restricted free agent. I think the Saints' long-term quarterback after Drew Brees is somebody that's not on the roster right now.
You guys can follow him on Twitter at Field Yates and check him out on NFL Live today. And, of course, now we know on The Daily with Mina Kimes tomorrow. Field, thanks for coming on with us. We appreciate your expertise.
Thanks, Fitz.
And don't miss him with Mina. That's going to be a great football conversation as we'll continue to break it down. The breaking news, if you're just joining us, Drew Brees went to Instagram to tell the world that we're going to make another run at this. So it looks like he's coming back to join the Saints. In honor of that, we've decided we want your take on that. So the question is, with Drew Brees back, where do the Saints rank in the NFC? Remember, this is a 13-3 team last year that's now going to get Drew Brees back. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Don't just tell me where they rank. Tell me who's ahead of them. Tell me who they're better than. Give me some details here. So 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want your take with Drew Brees back. Where do the Saints rank in the NFC? We're going to continue to break it down. We'll have some more experts come on with us over the course of the show today to give you everything we need to know about Drew Brees. But in the meantime, on First Take today, they have plenty of NBA talk to get into, and a lot of it is looking at the back portion of the NBA season. Remember, the All-Star break came late, so we're really into the back third of the NBA season, and it is going to be a sprint. The question is, when you are sprinting to the finish line, especially if your name is LeBron James, how do you handle load management? Jalen Rose joined Molly, Max, and Stephen A. to talk about what the Lakers are facing moving forward.
Stephen A., is it time for LeBron to consider load management?
No. No, and I want to be very, very clear about what my personal definition of load management is. If you are tired and I'm concerned about you, I might sit you down and say, okay, you're taking these few games off before the playoffs begins. Load management to me is the back and forth, devoid of injury and stuff like that. I don't consider, the more you hear about Kawhi Leonard and what he's enduring and how legit and serious his ailments are. Okay, I understand you managing that because day to day you might not be feeling well. Mm-hmm. That's entirely different than you feeling well, but you like, I got April and May to think about and I'm feeling absolutely fine, but I'm going to take this game off or a game off hand. I don't like that. Now, if the season's waning and we going like this, man, we got the number one seed. You need to take a goal. You need to take some time off. We need you. So guess what? You're going to rest these next few games. I don't give a damn what you said. That's not my definition of load management. That's my thing saying, excuse me, you need some rest. Take the rest as opposed to the back and forth element. That's load management to me. And I'm never in approval of that if you are healthy. If you are healthy, it shouldn't be, oh, on Monday, I'm announcing I'm going to skip Wednesday's game, but I'll be back Thursday. If you know you're going to be back Thursday, that means you're healthy enough to play Wednesday. What the hell you doing? I don't support that. But if you want to sit there and say, look, man, he's been playing. He only missed two games. He's averaging nearly 35 minutes a game, a team leading. He's been in the 17th season. He ain't playing for the next 2 weeks. I'm cool with that. But that's what it needs to be, Jalen.
Max?
Look, he should absolutely load manage. And according to your, like, we agree about how he should do it, Stephen A., but according to your reasoning, we really disagree about why. So the reason I think he should play but really limit the minutes is, we showed the graphic off the top. No one's played more minutes ever except for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Karl Malone, and neither one of them was nearly playing at the level LeBron is presently playing at still. And he has the most playoff minutes of all time. So that says, just to say nothing of that, those high intensity minutes. So absolutely limit the minutes as much as possible the rest of the way. But you're saying, oh, it's okay to take games off too, so long as you already have everything wrapped up. The reason I don't like him taking off games at this point is it's a rhythm thing. He's the engine that makes the whole offense go. They didn't pick up another real ball handler, playmaker who can run the offense at the trade deadline. They have to hope there's playoff Rondo still to spell him. But LeBron's the engine that makes it go. For continuity purposes and rhythm purposes, going down the stretch run, remember, the All-Star break's not halfway through. It's way more than halfway through. So going down the stretch run, I'd like the team in a good rhythm entering the playoffs. But that's the reason not to sit him. But if you're okay with sitting him later on, Stephen A., then start doing it now. Because the point, Jalen, to me, in the beginning of every season, I don't care, all professionalism, the fans are paying us. No, no. Try to win a championship, everyone. Go. Right? They're load managing Kawhi because they want to win a championship. Load manage LeBron if you want to win a championship.
Well, if you listen to the commissioner of baseball, it's just a piece of metal, Matt. Max. You shouldn't just go into the season and say we're going to win the championship because in that sport, their commissioner feels like it's irrelevant. But for LeBron James here, the thing I appreciate about him is that everything matters. And he does have regular season goals that you guys can't overlook. He wants to be the NBA's all-time leading scorer. He wants to be amongst the top two or three in assists of all time. You can't get that by missing games. And the Lakers do rely so very much on LeBron James that I think that might become an issue later in the season, but you still want him in uniform. And if you're handling business during the game, playing against Michael Jordan on the court, let me tell you how they load manage. They got up by 20 at the end of the third quarter, and they iced their knees in the fourth quarter. And that's what Stephen A. is alluding to. If LeBron James and his team lock up the number one seed, of course, not only are they going to rest LeBron, they're going to also rest Anthony Davis. It ain't going to just be him. You've earned that based on taking care of your business. Now, if they need the entire 82 games to secure the number one seed, then LeBron's minutes won't be getting lower, and he will not be missing games if he's healthy and ready to go.
See, my thing is this, and I get where you come from. You and I are on the same page. Where Max and I part ways on this. Understand, and I think it's very, very important to make this to crystallize this difference. Max walked into the season talking about load management in October.
If you took off games in November, Max had no problem with you. That makes no sense to me.
Me either.
That makes no sense to me. That's cheating the game. That's cheating the fans. And it's not, you know, like Max has been positioned, and I don't want to misrepresent him, so I'm going to come to you, Max. But Max has been on the record talking about hell with all that. It's about the chip. Well, excuse me, it's not about the chip. You get paid to play games. You know, if you are these guys getting docked 182 of their salary and donated it to charity or something? No, they're not. The money's guaranteed. It's coming in there. You get paid to play games. The customer doesn't sit up there and come to an arena to pay to watch you win the chip. They come to watch you perform November through April during the regular season, 82 regular season games. If you are injured, if you are hurt, if you are treating ailments, that's entirely different. But if you are shooting for a championship and it's November, let's monitor you and make sure you get time off. I think that's utterly ridiculous. And that, to me, is the kind of load management a lot of people have alluded to, which I find reprehensible.
Two things. One, I'm a Lakers fan. I want LeBron, as a Lakers fan, I want LeBron to load manage because I'd like the Lakers to win a championship. If I were a Clippers fan, I'd be happy what they're doing with Kawhi. If I was a Raptors fan, I'd have been happy last year. You're talking about the business ethics and how and the business interests and thinking about basketball as a whole and the NBA's future and all that. But competitively, from the team, the fans of the team's point of view, they're trying to win. As I said, okay, everyone, here are your teams, go. And Jalen, of course, you're right. Baseball's not basketball, not as many playoff berths. You can't dominate the game with one player, et cetera. I'm talking about among teams that have a genuine shot to win. So that's number one. I don't want to hear when the Clippers win the whole thing, well, it's not fair, Kawhi load manage. They're going to wind up winning the whole thing. He'll be finals MVP. I don't want to hear these excuses. That's one. Two, they share a building, y'all. And if it does come down to Lakers-Clippers, who cares who has home court? It's not going to matter. It's the same arena. Believe me, the Lakers fans are going to be there regardless. Like, this is a season where home court really probably, with the exception of maybe Denver, right? You want to get a better record than Denver, probably means less than it has in previous seasons.
There are probably, and I was writing down the names as you gentlemen were speaking, there are probably 11 guys in the history of basketball who have been notable champions that have done it, like, multiple times. You know, starting with Russell, Magic, Bird, Bad Boy Pistons, Hakeem the Dream, Tim Duncan, Shaq, Kobe, Brian, Wade, the Golden State Warriors. Max, you can't only go by who wins the championship and dismiss the playoffs and dismiss the regular season, because all-time greatness is about endurance as well. That's why people feel like MJ's the GOAT, because he brought it in the regular season, he brought it in the playoffs, and he brought it in the finals. So if you don't skip steps, that's ultimately how you earn the respect of the people and earn respect of your peers. Yeah. It's not only about the championship. Here's why. A guy like Chris Paul, a guy like Barry Bonds played for the Yankees. Oh, he have a World Series, but he didn't play for the Yankees. Chris Paul approaches the game like a champion.
Right.
He may not win a ring,
right,
but he's a champion. There are a lot of people that play with the guys that I just named that are walking around with championship
and
rings.
They weren't champions. But let me say this to you, and I think you'll appreciate this point that where I'm going with this, Jalen. You know, one of the things that I think folks should be very disturbed about, back in the day, it wasn't that much money in the sport, okay? And it almost seems like the more money you get, the more you've insulated yourself from having to be concerned about your financial future, because monetarily speaking, you're in a pristine position compared to what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
The more excuses there is to take games off. It's like that's backwards. The fact of the matter is, the more money that's available out there should be less of an excuse for you to justify taking time off, because the money's coming.
I'm going to tell you what that is, Stephen A. Watching this Sunday's All-Star game was the first time in like 15 or 20 years I felt like players were invested back into the game.
Yes.
Based on exactly what you just said.
That's right.
Because in that period of time you're describing, players knew that you had to grow the game so you could get the TV contracts, the shoe contracts. You could get the notoriety that the players currently have.
First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Pick from a range of coverage options with the Name Your Price tool to find a price that works for you. If you're just tuning in, I'm Jason Fitz. The breaking news today, Drew Brees coming back. He's gone to Instagram to tell the world that he will be back, and we all know that that means with the Saints. So we're asking you, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Where do the Saints rank now in the NFC? Where would you put them in all of this? By the way, Jason on Twitter says, unless they fix the secondary on defense, it won't matter. Also, there's a real chance we lose Taysom Hill because of this. Bridgewater was already gone, but losing Hill would really hurt. Brees being back doesn't make the team better. Oh, my God. Good Lord. I want to. That's a circle of darkness, Jason. I mean, Brees being gone wouldn't make the team better. I mean, good Lord. Jason in New York, where do you have them? What's your take? Where do you have the Saints now in the NFC with Brees coming back?
Well, I figure you got to have a chance for them to be number one. You got to look at the West and the NFC. Like, they're going to beat each other up. San Fran was only a game away from Seattle being the number one seed.
I don't disagree with any of that, Jason. I mean, look, they were 13-3 last year, and we just forget that they were 13-3, and they lost a chaotic playoff game to the Vikings. Okay. They were better than the Vikings. They should have beat the Vikings. But let's not turn it into suddenly the Saints were only an okay football team that managed to somehow lose in the playoffs. They were a really good foot. They were 13-3 in a year where it just happened to be three teams in the NFC were all 13-3. I want more of your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Sports Dude says they can't win the big one. Well, most teams can. Alex says they finally have a credible threat. They have been a credible threat the last three seasons and can potentially finally get the job done next season. I don't see why not. I mean, again, you have to feel better about the Saints with Brees right now than you felt with the Saints without Brees 24 hours ago. That's all I'm saying. I want your thoughts. Where do they rank in the NFC now? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me. We'll get more of your take coming on First Take. Your take coming up, though. This conversation about quarterbacks, we're not just talking about Drew Brees today. We're not just talking about older quarterbacks. We're also talking about young quarterbacks. Mel Kiper's mock draft 2.0 came out today. He had a shock at the top with one of the big-name quarterbacks going somewhere you haven't heard all year. You'll hear from him next. But first, let me tell you about Daniel, right? A year ago, he resolved to stop putting off what he wanted to do, get into information technology. So Daniel enrolled into My Computer Career. He's now already a few months into his IT career. Make 2020 your year. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Classes meet on campus, which is awesome, or live online just 2 times a week. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career, mycomputercareer.edu. Mel Kiper might be giving us rocket science on the draft with one shocking move. You'll hear about it next. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. That's where you can hang out with us again. The breaking news today, Drew Brees has gone to Instagram this afternoon to let everybody know he's making another run at it. Now, we know he's told us in the past that that run only comes with the Saints. It's the Saints or bust. So we know now that he's going to be the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. The first domino has fallen, as we continue to look at quarterbacks that have defined a generation and see where they're headed next. Our question to you is, with Brees coming back, where do the Saints rank in the NFC? They were 13-3 last year. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's try it again. Kate in Illinois. Kate, thanks for calling. What's your take? Where do the Saints rank in the NFC?
I think if you're going to base it all on a quarterback, we've got to stop getting stuck in these conversations where we're focused solely on the quarterback and we're not focusing on the talent around them. Pat Mahomes has been successful because he has protection and he has talent to throw to, whereas Aaron Rodgers, an elite-level quarterback, has less protection and has less targets. So it's not so much about Drew Brees. We already know he's elite, but does he have the protection and the talent around him to remain playing at that level? That's going to be the deciding factor, not just Drew Brees. We already know he's great. Is he going to have the protection and the talent around him to remain playing at that level?
Well, and do you think he does? I mean, last year the defense wasn't spectacular. He obviously had some good weapons around him, but they finished 13-3.
Did they finish 13-3 like the Pats finished it high in their record too because they had a cushy season, you know, a cushy record or season, excuse me, schedule? Or did they finish 13-3 because they genuinely came together and were cohesive and were able to do the things they did. They lost in the playoffs because they fell apart. Yes, it was a trashy game, but, I mean, they fell apart outside of bad calls and they couldn't stay cohesive. So, again, I mean, I don't think they're going to be a low-level team, to say the least. I think they'll remain elite, but I just think we got to focus more on the team as a whole and less on just one person. Because being a Packers fan, we started focusing on Aaron Rodgers way too hard, and now we have almost no talent around him to make him, you know, get past where he's to get us to a Super Bowl.
Okay, thanks for the call, and that's a great point, and that's sort of the antithesis of what they've done for San Francisco, right? The 49ers built the best roster they could and have a okay quarterback, and that got them to the Super Bowl. Tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. We know now, secret note, it's going to be Field Yates in the morning talking about this. It's presented by ADT. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. In the meantime, as we continue having this big conversation about Drew Brees and where he ranks, let's remember that's not the only quarterback in the news today, because we got a new mock draft from Mel Kiper Jr. I know I'm too obsessed over these things. I get it. I understand it. But that mock draft had a shocker in it, as he had Tua Tagovailoa going to a team we haven't seen in a matchup we haven't seen before. He joined Max, Stephen A., and Molly, and they talked about the mock draft decisions that Mel Kiper made. Check it out.
Joe Burrow is the big story, but I need to talk to you about Tua, because I pay closer attention to Detroit these days. Why is he moving to potentially go to the Lions and Matt Patricia's squad? How come you have him moving up?
Yeah, Todd and I have an unwritten rule. You can't project trades, but you can also put guys where they could be slotted and where it makes sense. And Jeff Okuda, the cornerback of Ohio State, you think three to the Lions, four to the Giants. If you think about quarterback for Detroit, Matthew Stafford's situation with the money, will they trade him, will he not? But if you want to get Tua, and you know Miami's sitting at five, and you're the Chargers at six, you're Carolina, if you want to jump up, you're the Raiders at coming up at that spot at 12, if you're the Indianapolis Colts at 13, and you want to move up, though, that's the hot spot. So if the Lions don't take him, they want to move out. I think they'll get opportunities. They want to take him as the future heir apparent to Stafford, because remember, he may have to medically redshirt as a rookie anyway. That's a possibility there. So I think if the medical is good for Tua, guys, I think he's the hot prospect. April 23rd. If the medical is so-so, it's a different ballgame. Let's be optimistic about it. Assume everything's good. I think he's going to go in the top five.
I'm trying to figure out how the hell did Justin Herbert climb to number five. I mean, people were talking about him not being in the top 10 weeks ago, Mel Kiper Jr., and all of a sudden this guy is top five. What the hell has happened over the last few weeks? I mean, I didn't notice any football going on. How he climbed?
That wasn't me, Stephen A. That was some other analyst.
There we go. I know.
It wasn't me, pal. I've always thought he was going to go that high, and others have been a little. And, hey, and based on the fact that he hasn't had, as we said, that wow-type gamer games as a runner, as a thrower, even though he's enormously gifted, that's fine. Bottom line is, when you talk about the awesome talent, incredibly intelligent, not as instinctive as you would necessarily want, but if it can come together in the NFL, you got something. And lesser quarterbacks than Justin Herbert, they're not even close to his talent level, have gone in the top 10 to 12. So I think when you look at the Miami Dolphins, the Chargers, like I say, Raiders, Colts, maybe moving up. I got to believe when we get to April 23rd, Justin Herbert's guaranteed to be one of the first six picks.
Mel, I want to talk about my New York football Giants. So, Okuda, is that just an issue of him being, you think, the best player on the board? Because I think Isaiah Simmons is an overall talent. But also, what's his name, Wills, Jedrick Wills, the offensive tackle. When you look at what the Giants have done on the O-line in recent years, they spent a lot of draft capital and money in free agency to fix the line. Finally, it seems to start working. And I look at the Colts and what they did, and all of a sudden they're a juggernaut on the line. Why do you have a cornerback going to the Giants?
Well, you got to get one of the top three players. You're picking four. You got to get a guy that's probably on your board as a three or maybe two. We'll see, because a lot of teams aren't necessarily sold on Burrow as the number one guy in the draft or number two guy. So if you feel like you got to get an elite guy, it's not Wills. Wills Max is not one of the top five players in this draft, the right tackle from Alabama. Isaiah Simmons, there's mixed opinion on because you don't have a defined position. Okay, he's a versatile guy, but he's not defined, and linebackers don't have as much value as they used to. But I like him, but I think there's teams that are saying, is he worthy of being that high a pick? Okuda is the lockdown corner. He's going to be expected to be Tre'Davious White. You think about Stephon Gilmore. Both the Lions at three and the Giants at four need him. He's going to be, when all said and done, one of the top three or four players in this draft. When I think everybody's bored. That's why I put him where I did. And I think that is also a hot spot, your Giants, Max, for that trade up. If, say, the Lions take Okuda at three. Don't take the quarterback, or the quarterback doesn't go there. That's the spot for somebody to go ahead of Miami and get Tua if he clears everything medically.
Yeah, we should have had Chase Young. Mel, let me ask you this. According to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Burrow says he has the leverage when it comes to the Bengals. People are saying he should pull an Eli Manning. What are you hearing with that situation, the number one overall spot?
Well, first of all, this the bashing of the Bengals. The Bengals have been to the Super Bowl. Four teams in the NFL have never even been to a Super Bowl. Bengals have been to two against the 49ers and lost. One during the Kenny Anderson era, then Boomer Esiason. They had success with Carson Palmer. They went to a playoff. He got hurt in a playoff game. And then Andy Dalton went to the playoffs. Okay, so this notion the Bengals have been just horrible and losing all the time and never even getting anywhere is ridiculous. So I think for Joe Burrow, no, he's going to be the number one pick. He's going to be a Cincinnati Bengal. And like I said, we'll move on from there.
What the hell is everybody talking about how Joe Burrow, I mean, I saw on ESPN.com, Joe Burrow might have leverage with the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, excuse me, they've got the number one overall pick, right? What is he going to do? Say, I'm not going to play football if you pick me? He going to pull Eli Manning?
No. I don't think it's going to end up being that way. Everybody brought up John Elway. And, of course, he had a baseball option. He threatened, but that was never doubted. And keep in mind, Ernie Accorsi was going to sign John Elway. The owner made the deal. Ernie Accorsi didn't make that deal. They were on their way to getting an agreement with John Elway. It didn't happen. But then the Eli Manning case was different. You had Rivers sitting there, and you had Roethlisberger in that draft. You had other elite quarterbacks that were right there in terms of grade with Eli. Here you have Tua with the medical situation and Justin Herbert with some mixed opinion. And Burrow had the one great year, and he maximize it. He should just be happy, guys. He's going number one because going into this year, he had a sixth round grade.
Well, Mel, you may think he should be happy, but the fact is he's talking like a guy who's trying to not get drafted by Cincinnati. And there are lots of people who think Tua is the best quarterback in this draft. Clearly, he has a deeper resume. I'm surprised to hear you not think this is a big deal, because from where I'm sitting, which is clearly not as close as you, it seems like a really big deal. Since when does a guy who's like, who we all know where he's going to get picked, say this kind of stuff about, I can't remember it, the number one overall pick, talking about the franchise that's obviously going to take him like this?
Well, keep in mind, Max and guys, you're looking at a quarterback who a lot of people are saying things for him. I know he's commenting. A lot of things are being asked of him. He said he would be a Bengal, and he said that early on. Then you start to think about it a little bit. You hear negativity. People bring up, he's got all these quarterbacks, Steve Bartkowski, saying he'll go there. Carson Palmer. So he's just reacting to all these people throwing things at him. Well, you don't want to go there. You're the number one guy. So I think it's just Joe Burrow reacting to that. I have not yet heard Joe Burrow take this defined stance that you're talking about. Until I do, I'm not even going to worry about it. It's just bluster out there. But when it comes to April 23rd, the Bengals feel he's a franchise quarterback, and they deem him number one over two and feel like he's worthy of being taken over the defensive end, Chase Young. And I will say this, guys. If Chase Young would have had multiple sacks in those last two or three games and been a game wrecker, then you could have made a case that the Bengals would be better off taking Chase Young and worrying about a quarterback maybe in the second round.
Brought to you by Wendy's, proud sponsor of the 2020 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year Awards. We'll keep all the conversation going about quarterbacks, but not young ones. No. Drew Brees, because Drew Brees is coming back. So the question is, what's that mean for the Saints? Where do you have them in the NFC? We want your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. We're going to come back with your take. I want your take on where Brees and the Saints rank going into next season. We'll do that next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys get to chime in with us. Get to hang out with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Drew Brees coming back. The question is, what does that mean for the Saints? Where do the Saints rank in the NFC? We got some thoughts on it from Field Yates earlier. If you missed that interview, go check the entire thing out on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast, brought to you by Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with the credit card, sends an alert to your phone, and most importantly, helps you fix them. What's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. So where are the Saints now? Now that we know that Drew Brees is back, where do the Saints go marching in to the next NFL season? You're welcome, America. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Let's get over to the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Stewart in D.C. with Drew Brees coming back. Where do the Saints rank and why?
Hello, Jason. I think the Saints will win the Super Bowl next year. My interest in this story is not on Drew Brees so much, but on where Teddy Bridgewater winds up. And the speculation in Washington, D.C. is that the Redskins are interested in talking to him. They're not sure if Alex Smith will ever play quarterback again. But there's also been speculation that so many people want to sign Bridgewater that he's going to command a salary, a guaranteed salary of $25 to $30 million.
Yeah, well, again, those are all things we've heard. But then Field Yates said earlier today he doesn't think there's a great home for him, and he settles in on backup money. I mean, you're right. We've seen projections. Bill Barnwell did a great projection out on ESPN.com where you could go out to an animation, click on the quarterback, put him in a spot, see what happens. And he had Bridgewater signing that range of $25, $30 million. I mean, we live in a world where Ryan Tannehill is likely to get $30 million a year. So I think that Teddy Bridgewater is in line to get paid, like it or not, just because that's what happens with quarterbacks, but maybe not. So Teddy Bridgewater is the most interesting thing. Although in D.C., you have Dwayne Haskins. You just drafted a quarterback in the first round. I know we're all coming off of 1 year where the Cardinals gave up on a first-round quarterback in 1 year, but that's not the norm. Tom in California, thanks for calling First Take. I want your take. Breeze is back. Where do the Saints rank in the NFC?
Thanks for taking my call, Fitz. I think they're going to be fifth or sixth in the NFC.
All right, who do you got above them?
I got San Francisco, Seattle, Minnesota, and Green Bay, and possibly even throwing in Carolina.
Oh, okay. Whoa. Woo, Carolina. You have lost your mind. That's amazing. Carolina going that far. Why Carolina?
Because I've been hearing things about their quarterback. He's dedicated and wanting to push more coming up this next season, and they got McCaffrey.
Well, here's the thing. I don't disagree with you. Maybe Cam is dedicated. Maybe Cam wants more. Every indication I've heard out of there is that they're likely to trade him if that's the case because – Carolina's interested in rebuilding the entire roster. I can't see that happening there. So keep them coming. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Meshach in Missouri. All right, so Breeze is back. Where do you have the Saints now?
I think they're going to come in on top just for the simple fact that, I mean, I'm a Carolina Panthers fan, and I think that with them rebuilding and the division that they're in, they're going to at least win the division. And I don't think that San Fran's going to repeat with that good a season that they had this year. So,
Meshach, that's a great point with San Francisco, by the way. We're just presuming that the 49ers are going to come back because, what do we always say, defense sort of carries over, right? But remember, 2 years ago, we were obsessed with the Jags defense, thinking, you know what, if they could just get regular quarterback play, they could just do this year and in, year out. Then last year, we were obsessed with the Bears defense. Man, if Mitchell Trubisky can just maintain it, what can they do year in and year out? And then what do we have? I mean, now we're obsessed with the 49ers defense, rightfully so. Look, the 49ers defense is spectacular, but that doesn't mean that we see carryover success year to year from it. I mean, there is some benefit of the doubt, right? Proof of concept is something I say all the time when you look at it. Proof of concept says that the Saints – and, you know, Sean Payton, Drew Brees, proof of concept, no matter what's around them, they always win games. One thing I know is at this point, if you're a Saints fan, you're looking for seats. Download the Vivid Seats app, enter promo code ESPN25 at checkout, get you 10% off your next order. Don't buy just any seat, get a Vivid seat. Now, everybody want a Vivid seat for Brees, and what's it mean? Is this his farewell tour? Is this going to be a one-year deal? Is it going to be a two-year deal? We're going to keep breaking down everything. Obviously, First Take had a lot of NBA to cover. We want you to hear that. We'll get some of your thoughts on it. But in the meantime, the best thing we could do now is we'll head next down to New Orleans directly. Talk to one of the guys that covers the team and knows it every single day. And we'll get their thoughts from New Orleans on Breeze. That's next. First Take, your take.